Well, we read Acts chapter 14, and in there, I'm sure Barnabas and Paul never expected to be looked upon as deities. That's what the people looked at them as. And once the people found out that they weren't, and the Jews were able to persuade the people, Paul himself was stoned to the point of, well, it looked like he was dead. Well, sometimes there are things that come across our path that we don't necessarily expect. And, it helps build our character if we deal with these things in the proper manner. Today I'd like to take a look at one individual's character, the character of Abram, whose name was changed to Abraham. And, you know, Yahweh tells us the end from the beginning. I got it right this time. Because when I spoke about identifying Esau and Ishmael, I said it a little differently. Well, sometimes I wonder if I'm not a little dyslexic in those ways, but Yahweh helps us get through things like that. And he understands our frailty, and he understands Abraham's frailties at that time and those that came after him. But Yahweh is working things out to his glory, to his honor, and he has a plan. But in that plan, Abraham was certainly a big part of it. And we can go back to Genesis 17, where we find Yahweh establishing a covenant with Abraham. Genesis 17, starting in verse 1. I should mention, since we're going to talk about character, specifically Abraham's character, we should give the definition that the dictionary gives. It talks about and defines it as the inherent complexities of attributes that determine a person's moral and ethical actions and reactions. So it's not only how we are, but how we react to certain situations. And we can look at these things and discover what kind of character we should have, even by looking at some of the patriarchs of old. And looking at Abraham, we find, starting out there in verse 1, it says, "After these things, the word of Yahweh came to Abram in a vision, saying, 'Do not fear, Abram. I am a shield to you.'" You know, it's interesting. I mean, we could look at our life today, and some of the things that Abraham had, we have as well. Hopefully we have. And if we don't, we should be working on these things. But Yahweh protects us as well. In driving over here today, we found one of those ramps that go up to a flatbed trailer, fairly long, and as soon as we saw it in the road, we knew we needed to get it out of the road because it was going to get hit and probably do some damage to somebody or somebody's vehicle. Anyway, we parked and went back to get it. Well, a boat and a truck hauling a boat came along and hit it. And that thing flipped up underneath really loud and then flew it out like a boomerang. I mean, it went and ended up over in the weeds. Thankfully, I hadn't taken a run to get there because I would have been there right at that moment. And so, you know, Yahweh is a shield to us in many ways. And in many ways, we are protected that we don't realize, you know, that we're protected. But we do need to think about these things and consider them. But it says, Yahweh tells Abram, "I am a shield to you. Your reward shall be very great." And, of course, we're looking for a reward as well. In verse 2, it says, "Abram said, 'O Yahweh Elohim, what will you give me since I am childless? And the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus.' And Abram said, 'Since you have given no offspring to me, one born of my house is my heir.' Then behold, the word of Yahweh came to him, saying, 'This man will not be your heir, but one who shall come forth from your own body. He shall be your heir.' And he took him outside and said, 'Look toward the heavens and count the stars, and if you are able to count them.' And he said to him, 'So shall your descendants be.'" Verse 6, "Then he believed in Yahweh, and he reckoned it to him as righteousness. And he said to him, 'I am Yahweh, who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldees, to give you this land to possess it.' And he said, 'O Yahweh Elohim, how may I know that I shall possess it?' So he said to him, bring me a three-year-old heifer. And it goes on, and here we have a cutting of the first covenant. Now, Abram, his name was changed to Abraham. He was promised, well, he was an exalted father, which his name means, but he was soon to be an exalted father of many, of a multitude. In Genesis 15, we find his name was changed. We don't have to... Well, actually, that's... Oh, I'm sorry, that's where I was. Actually, I meant to go to Genesis 17 first. Well, let's back up. Let's go to Genesis 17. It all works out. Even if I don't know what I'm doing, Yahweh knows what he's doing. So we can take confidence in that. Genesis 17, starting in verse 1. Now when Abraham, or when Abram, rather, was 99 years old, Yahweh appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Yahweh, I am Elohim, or El Shaddai, I believe is what is being referred to there. Walk before me and be blameless. I will establish my covenant between you and will multiply you exceedingly. Abram fell on his face and Yahweh talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I will make you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come forth from you. Do you know what king is especially important that came from Abraham? From the line of Isaac and Jacob through Judah? Joshua. And David is mentioned there as well. And we'll take a look at that. Let's go over to 18, staying in the same vicinity in Genesis. Genesis 18 and verse 17. Yahweh said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? Why is the reason, or what is the reason Yahweh chose Abraham to do this? It says, since Abraham will surely become great and mighty, a mighty nation, and in him all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. For I have chosen him in order that he may command his children in his household after him to keep the way of Yahweh by doing righteousness and justice in order that Yahweh may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him. Yahweh knew that Abraham would go ahead and teach the children. And that's something that we're to do as well. We're to expound upon Yahweh's word with others when we have the opportunity. We are to share the good news of the coming kingdom and of Yahweh's righteousness and of Yahshua, the Messiah. But we find that there are certainly reasons that Yahweh does certain things. But Yahweh chose Abraham, and certainly the nations of the world have been blessed because of this. Genesis 26. Genesis 26, and you find, you know, it does say here that by faith Abraham was blessed. But we find that Paul expounds upon this, and many writers will emphasize this, faith, philosota, faith alone. And it goes beyond that, though. Genesis 26 and verse 4, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven, in Genesis 26 and verse 4, and I will give your descendants all these lands, by your descendants all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because Abraham obeyed me and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, my laws. Wow. If you say that to someone today, well, we can just believe. Well, let's go over to James. Let's clarify, which I think James is probably doing what because of what maybe Paul had said. But I think Paul clarified himself in many ways, because he would say again and again, shall we have grace, or shall we sin more so grace shall abound? He said that over and over again, clarifying himself, it seems. Well, in James chapter 2 and verse 20, we start out there going through verse 24, and Abraham is mentioned here. James says, Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac his son on the altar? You see that faith was working with his works, so it wasn't alone. And as a result of the works, faith was perfected. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, "And Abraham believed Yahweh, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of Yahweh." You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. So scripture clarifies scripture. You can't go off the deep end on one area and ignore these other scriptures. So it's a balance. We're to have faith, and we also are to have obedience. In fact, when we look at it, just the word righteousness, when we go into Psalms chapter 119, longest chapter in the Bible, it clarifies for us what righteousness is. Psalm 119 and verse 172. It says, "Let my tongue sing of your word, for all your commandments are righteousness." Now, if this was written by David, King David, I think it was, we know that King David was a man after Yahweh's own heart. And Yahweh was concerned with the heart. In the Old Testament, he's concerned with the heart today. He's concerned about what we will do and how we will worship him and if we will listen to him and if we will do what he says. Let's go back to Deuteronomy. I just want to clarify what Yahweh's word says about righteousness, that it's not just believing, that it's not just faith. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 25. It says, "It will be righteousness for us if we are careful to observe all of his commandments before Yahweh our Elohim, just as he has commanded us." So a lot of emphasis there. And of course, we're given the Spirit in the New Testament, and we are to walk in it. And we are given help to be obedient, just as prophecy tells us. Let's go back to Genesis 11. Genesis 11 tells us of the descendants of Shem. Shem, of course, was one of the sons of Noah. Japheth was another. Ham was another. But Yahweh seems to be working through the line of Shem. And I think from Shem, we see a descendant of Arpachshad in verse 11. In verse 13, Shelah. And in verse 15, Eber. Verse 17, Peleg. And it goes on. Ru, Serug, Nahor, Terah. Finally, Abram, in verse 26. Now, a lot of people will say that Abraham is a Jew. And that's not correct. Some will say that he was an Israelite. That's also not true. Because they don't understand the genealogy, the way things are in the Old Testament, how the descendants are. And maybe because they don't read the Old Testament. But if they did, they would understand these things. But we do find that Abraham was evidently Semitic. We also find that Abraham is called a Hebrew in Scripture. Let's go over to Genesis 12. Starting in verse 1. "Now Yahweh said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great." Indeed, his name is great among the known religions of today, Islam and Christianity and Judaism. Of course, his name is honored. Verse 3, "And I will bless you, or bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went forth, as Yahweh had spoken to him, didn't put up a fight, didn't say, why should I do that? He didn't ask questions, he just said, okay, I'll do that. Lot also went with him. Now Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abram took Sarah his wife and Lot his nephew and all their possessions which they had accumulated and the persons which they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan. Thus they came to the land of Canaan. Abram passed through the land as far as the site of Shechem and the oak of Moreh. Now the Canaanite was then in the land. Yahweh appeared to Abram and said, "To your descendants I will give this land." So he built an altar there to Yahweh who had appeared to him. And you go down to the next verse and it says that he built this altar to Yahweh and began to call on the name of Yahweh. Now, I've heard scholars that are trying to show that Yahweh's name is not something that was used early on. They point to Exodus 6 and verse 3. You might turn there just to take a look at that. Because in your particular version, it probably reads in a way that would make you think that. It says in verse 3 of chapter 6 of Exodus, "And I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as El Shaddai, but by my name, Yahweh, did not make myself known to them." I did not make myself known to them. That's what this New American Standard says. But that doesn't set well with what we just read in Genesis 12 and verse 8, does it? So what are we looking at in verse 3? It has to be a question. "But by my name, Yahweh, did I not make myself known to them?" That's the question. And when you look at the Hebrew or even Greek, there is no periods and commas and exclamation points and question marks and these type of things. But it's just a little side note there that we should be aware of, because there are those that are actually fighting against the name of Yahweh. When you really consider what they're doing, they don't want to use it. And so if you come up and say, "Well, we think that Yahweh's name should be used," they say, "Well, what about, you know, Exodus chapter 6 here? Doesn't look like Yahweh's name was even used early on." Well, it was. And Scripture bears that fact out. Let's go over to Genesis 14 and verse 12. We find that Lot was taken away. And Abraham, or Abram, really, at that time, still called Abram, had to go after him. Genesis 14 and verse 12. "They also took Lot, Abram's nephew, and his possession and departed, for he was living in Sodom. Then a fugitive came and told Abram the Hebrew." Remember, we had mentioned that Abraham was a Hebrew. It says, "A fugitive came and told Abram the Hebrew. Now he was living by the oaks of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcol, an Amorite, brother of Eshcol, and brother of Anar, and these were allies with Abram. Then Abram heard that his relative had been taken captive. He led out his trained men, born in his house, 318, and went to pursue as far as Dan." And he got Lot back and protected him, and he was courageous in going after him. So that's a character trait that I do think we see. And he, of course, would have loved his family. And so we see that as well as part of the character of Abram at that time. In Genesis 14, going down to 19, verse 19 and 20, we find that, in verse 18, there's the king Melchizedek of Salem. He brought out bread and wine and was a high priest of Yahweh. Verse 19, it says, "He blessed him and said, 'Blessed be Abram of Yahweh Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be Yahweh Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand.'" So was it really Abram that did it? I think Yahweh was involved there, giving him the means to win the battle. But it says here he gave him a tenth of all, so I think maybe we see the first account of tithing it's something else that was in Abraham's character that he was giving, generous, that he was, of course, we've read already in Genesis 26, that he was obedient in verse 4 and 5 there. So he was tithing at that time. Genesis 22, we find that Abraham at this point was tested. Abraham was tested with something that was very dear to him. Genesis 22 and verse 5. Well, let's go back up to verse 2 of Genesis 22. Yahweh speaking to him. He says, "Take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him up there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you." What was Abraham's reaction? Once again, no defiance, no questioning why, just, okay. In verse 3 it says, "So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son." So he went to go do it. Going down to verse 10, "Abraham stretched out his hand, took the knife to slay his son, but the angel of Yahweh called to him from heaven and said, 'Abraham, Abraham.' And he said, 'Here I am.'" And so we know the rest of the account here, that Abraham did not have to sacrifice Isaac. But Abraham showed his willingness to obey in an area that I think for any of us would have been a hard thing to have done. But Abraham didn't have to do that. So Abraham was tested. Abraham came through. And I think we find that Abraham believed that Yahweh could resurrect Isaac at this time, because he says in verse 5, towards the end there, "We will worship and return to you." He included Isaac in that. So it's good to see these things. Here's a man that believed in Yahweh, was courageous, had love, was generous, had faith. We also find that he was patient and compassionate as we look at his life. Let's go over to Exodus, chapter 2, and verse 24. We know that Abraham and Sarah had Isaac, and we also know that Ishmael was born through Hagar. We know through Isaac and Rebekah, Esau and Jacob, these twins were born. But Yahweh chose Jacob. He chose Isaac. He worked with Abraham. He worked with Shem and his descendants. Yahweh is working with a people throughout history, and this people ended up being called Israel. Jacob was called Israel. And that's why Abraham isn't an Israelite, because it didn't happen that Israel was created or known until after Jacob was called that by Yahweh. And then his descendants, of course, you read of that in chapter 49. But in Exodus 2 and 24, it says, "So Yahweh heard their groaning, and Yahweh remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Here he says his covenant. Well, wasn't that just with Abraham? No, he's working out the covenant through Isaac and Jacob as well. So we have a particular work that's going on here. And maybe someday we should compare the attributes of Esau and Ishmael and compare them with the attributes of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the others that Yahweh is working with through them, through Israel, right down to Joshua. Well, Abraham believed and had faith to follow and do what Yahweh told him to do, knowing he would provide. Abraham knew how to keep peace through even difficult times such as separation. We know that when Abraham, at a point there, looked out at the land, and when Lot was with him, he told Lot, you know, you go ahead and pick the land that you would like to go to. And so Lot took the best of the land and went that way. Abraham went the other way. So Abraham was very giving, and he wanted to keep peace. So Abraham knew how to keep peace even through these different difficult times. Abraham was generous and gave, gave Lot first choice of land. Abraham loved his family and then had courage to rescue them from danger. Speaking of Lot and his family. Abraham pleaded for the righteous people of Sodom and Gomorrah and showed patience and compassion doing so. You know the account where he says, Yahweh, if there be 50 righteous, you know, will you not destroy them? And it ended up going, well, let's go to Genesis 18 and verse 24. He knew that Yahweh was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, but Abraham wanted to reason with Yahweh and felt that he could go ahead and do so. And so he asked Yahweh, suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you indeed sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of the 50 righteous who are in it? And Yahweh said, no, I'll spare them if there's 50. Suppose then, Abraham goes on, verse 28, suppose the 50 righteous are lacking 5. Well, there's just 45. And you see this going on, verse 29. Suppose, you know, because Yahweh says, okay, well, if there's 45, I will not destroy it. Goes on, well, what if there's 40? What if there's 30? What if there's 20? And he realizes, Abraham realizes, he's not a dummy, realizes, you know, well, I better soften this. And like in verse 31, he says, now behold, I have ventured to speak to Yahweh. Suppose 20 are found. In verse 32, oh, that Yahweh would not be angry, that I shall speak only this once. Suppose 10 are found there. Well, ultimately, Yahweh agreed, and there was this communication. And Yahweh tells us, come, let us reason together. And so we're able to go before Yahweh's throne and reason with him if we desire to do so. And he tells us, yes, you can come and reason with me. So Abraham was courageous, I think, in that respect, and showed a bit of patience. And I think Yahweh especially showed patience. But Abraham, interestingly enough, was called Yahweh's friend. Let's go over to Second Chronicles. Second Chronicles 20 and verse 7. Did you not know, or did you not, O our Elohim, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever? The people knew that Abraham was Yahweh's friend. In Isaiah chapter 41, Isaiah 41 and verse 8, but you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, descendant of Abraham, my friend. This account given that Abraham was a friend of Yahweh, Yahweh's friend. Now, interestingly enough, I mean, when we think about some of the attributes that and character traits that Abraham has, even before his name was changed, that Yahweh worked with him in that way, we find that we can also be called friends of Yahshua, of the Messiah. And we find that in John 15, in the New Testament. But notice that it's conditional. It's not, you know, we can just say we believe and everything will be just dandy. John 15 and verse 14. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You know, you read through this section, I was doing that, and you really see an emphasis that Yahshua's word is Yahweh's word. We were provided Yahweh's word by Yahshua, that he is the Yahweh of the Old Testament, because no one has seen the Father at any time nor heard his voice. So who is speaking? Well, the Dabar, the word, Yahshua. And we find he is the Logos in the New Testament. Within Abraham's character, we find that he trusted in Yahweh. He was a sojourner. He was traveling. He was looking for a land that he hadn't been in yet. And we're looking for a coming kingdom. We're looking for a land that we're not really in yet. This world is a polluted land, and it's going to have to be cleaned up. But we're looking for a future that is going to be different than what we are experiencing now, in the sense that we're looking to be spirit beings, not physical beings like we are now. So we are moving forward, looking up, and looking towards this goal. And we sang about Zion, in the program earlier. If you would, go to Isaiah chapter 2. Something struck me recently that I just didn't really comprehend, I guess, earlier, but in verse 3 of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 3, it says, many peoples will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of Yahweh, to the house of the Elohim of Jacob, that he may teach us concerning his ways, that we may walk in his paths, for the law will go forth from Zion, and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem. Now, we see duality in Scripture. We see that, yes, it can mean this when it's talking about something, but it can also mean something else. And when we look at Zion, I think we can certainly relate that as being a physical place where you can actually put your feet on physically. But I think we can also look at it as a spiritual Zion, the New Jerusalem. And the reason I say that is, let's go over to Hebrews 12 and verse 22. Hebrews 12 and verse 22. You have come to Mount Zion, and to the city of the living Elohim, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to the myriads of angels. So here Zion is talked about in reference to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living Elohim, the myriads of angels, which is in heaven. We also find in Revelation 14:1, Revelation 14:1. Then I looked, and behold, the Lamb was standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his name and the name of his Father written on their foreheads. But we know that in Revelation 21 that there will be no more sea, that there's coming a time when it will be a lot different than what we see out there now. And the law is, I guess the point is, the law is going to continue to move forward. The law was given in the Old Testament. It was observed back then. It was observed in the New Testament. We're to observe it today. It will be observed in the coming kingdom. It will be observed and done past this physical kingdom that's coming. There'll be no end to Yahweh's kingdom, as Scripture says. There'll be no end to his instructions in that sense that they are to be observed. They are to be done. And we need to trust that Yahweh will work these things out. Let's go over to Hebrews chapter 11 and take a look at verses 8 through 9. This is the faith chapter, and of course it is talking about Abraham. Notice by faith, in verse 8 of Hebrews 11, by faith Abraham, when he was called, did what? He obeyed by going out to the place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in the foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. Genesis 23 and verse 4 says, Abraham speaking, I am a stranger and a sojourner among you. And I think we can say the same thing to the world. We're sojourners. I'm not part of this world. I'm looking for a world that's yet to come. And so in many ways we can look at Abraham's character. We can say some of the same things that he said and mean it and believe it and know it. And hopefully we have a better idea of what's coming than Abraham even had because of our understanding of what we've been given in the New Testament, and that we see the history. We can also look at other prophecies and know what's coming. But we are basically sojourners today, walking in spirit and in truth. Well, what is truth? Going back to Psalm 119 again, this man who had a heart after Yahweh, after Yahweh's own heart. Psalm 119 in verse 142. Righteousness is expressed here as well. But it says, your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is truth. In verse 151, it says, you are near, O Yahweh, and all your commandments are truth. In verse 160, the sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous ordinances is everlasting. Everlasting? You mean his instructions are going to move forward? That's what the Bible says. And we see that it's true. I do think that we have a great example in Abraham, but we also have a perfect example in his descendant, Yahshua the Messiah. Let's go over to Matthew 1:1. I'll close with this. Keeping in mind that Yahweh has been working with a line going all the way back, ancient times. It says, verse 1 of Matthew 1, the record of the genealogy of Yahshua the Messiah, the son of David, and the son of Abraham. Yahweh is working out great things, and his promises are true. His promises can be trusted. His word can be trusted. And many times I think sometimes we find our character lacking, but hopefully we are growing. We're growing in grace and knowledge of Yahshua, because here we find perfection. Perfection of the law. Perfection of how we should be. Perfection of Yahweh's plan. And ultimately, we see a future, I do hope, with Yahshua in the kingdom. A kingdom that will have no end. So is it important to look at Abraham's character? I think so. I think it's important to look at Isaac's character, Jacob's character, especially Yahshua's character. Even King David, a man after Yahweh's own heart. We are to be a people after Yahweh's own heart. So to that end, may Yahweh bless us and help us to move forward as we consider our own character and the character of those that have gone before us. Hallelujah.